No.
Go.
If the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
ERB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome to this episode 392 again of BRB UK. Why do I say again, I hear you ask? Well, the attentive of you who listen to the show may have noticed a distinct lack of a show last week.
Whoops.
And that's because, well, my audio was a bit shocking. You know, I'd heard all kinds of goodness and hotness about the joys that are, the joy that is RTX voice. It uses AI to clean up your audio.
That's pronounced
Yep. That's Coleman, by the way. Say hello, Coleman.
Hi.
And the other one's Tim. Say hello, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
There we go, good. But it turns out that the kind of the frequency of noise which my fan was outputting is pretty much identical to the frequency of my own voice.
You sound like a fan.
Meaning that it sounded like garbage. Yes, Tim, I expel hot air too. You know, it shouldn't have been as much of a surprise as it was to me. But anyway,
does this mean you sound like a low hum?
Yes, indeed. So I'm going to be boiling myself in my little grief hovel that
grief
I
hovel.
Record in. My little grief hovel.
Bashing my head against the wall of failure.
To be fair, that's usually why I pass out about what we done, around about the time of what we done played Tim's VR menu edition, because I'm actually dying of heat exhaustion.
I thought it was just the VR.
No, turns out not. Okay. So anyway, hopefully this works. And our apologies, listeners, for well and truly cocking it up last week.
Don't drag me and Coleman into this, mate. Into your.
I didn't. I went full mea culpa on that, mate.
No, full respect to that, and well done for having more ability to do that than the current state of our government. But hey,
wow.
Hey, look. To be fair, he wasn't elected, and I hear Durham is lovely this time of year.
But you can apologise. Well done. That's one better than him. Or any of them at the moment. Anyway.
I was really looking forward to the break from the politics of Twitter.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to drag us down into the real world. Let's talk video games.
Gents, we have a slightly different show this week. We were thinking about doing a makeup show, but work being work, couldn't really cobble that together.
But we know nothing about makeup.
And also, it's an audio podcast.
There is
so,
that.
Listeners, I got all dolled up for the occasion. I'm here in Gloria, a nice little bit of rouge. Some beautiful eyeliner, if I must say so myself. But all for waste. I thought it was going to be like a makeup show. And Coleman, you've frankly robbed me of the career I always wanted as a YouTube tutorial influencer.
Mate, don't joke about it, because we'll make it happen.
No, don't.
You don't know how committed I am to the bit.
Oh, no. No, I know how committed you are, and that's what worries me.
Eating my dust.
Exactly.
Thanks to a kind of combination of lack of news this week and also not real big enthusiasm into wanting to just go over the same news we went over last week, because it's hard to feign that you've heard this for the first time.
And also, it's not news anymore. It's at least a week old.
It's old.
We thought we'd go over last week's PlayStation State of Play and then this week's PlayStation State of Play, because we've got two of them.
Two.
One is for Ghost of Tsushima, and
bless you.
The other one is for The Last of Us Part 2. Everyone and their mother has talked about Ghost of Tsushima's the PlayStation State of Play 20-minute gameplay walkthrough thingy. So we're not going to go too heavy into it, but I thought it'd be good to go, hey, first impressions of seeing the gameplay, what are you thinking? Because especially Tim, you've been the most excited about this game since the E3 reveal. Was that 2 years ago now?
Yeah, when they did the whole big reveal and they had the whole weird different rooms for each thing, including The Last of Us 2, incidentally, as well. But hey,
Tim, didn't you go to E3 once?
Yes. I there did indeed.
There we go. I know you
the
don't
last
like talking
good
about
year.
doesn't like talking about it. But now you've seen gameplay and see that it's essentially Assassin's Creed of the Wild.
God damn it. That's what I wanted to say.
I mean, you can say it and we'll edit in post.
Yeah, all right.
I'm still really excited for the game. I don't think it's kind of tempered my expectations slightly. It hasn't really kind of whetted my appetite as much as I thought this would. As I said, I'm still looking forward to the gameplay. I'm still looking forward to the setting. And I still trust the developer to make a good, fun game in that environment. So generally, I'm still positive. But it did seem that there was a bit of a graphical downgrade in terms of you know, what we saw at that reveal and what we saw in this kind of gameplay reveal.
A lot of people noticed that, actually, compared to the test render, quote unquote, or the target render footage they showed last time, that there was a bit of a down tick in the quality. Although I still think, bearing in mind, I mean, admittedly it was PS4 Pro hardware, I mean, they're squeezing an awful lot of graphical awesomeness out of a PS4 with Tsushima.
Hmm.
A bit of me does wonder, bearing in mind we've heard very little about the PS5's launch lineup, and you know, Microsoft are already making a big thing about, hey, look, the games you've already got and we're releasing now are going to look even more awesome come Christmas time on your shiny new Xbox X. I wonder if Sony might be considering a similar route with titles like Tsushima.
In some way or form, this will definitely be one of the games that you could see going cross-platform and possibly looking a bit nicer and shinier and possibly closer to the original target render type things that we saw when it comes to PS5. Like, you can see that, you know, possibly being the case, but it's not that I'm like now completely unexcited about the game. As I said, it slightly tempered my expectations and gone, oh, okay, it wasn't really the thing that you showed me before. It's this thing. And it's not just the graphical downgrade. It was the kind of the way things were animated as in combat and stuff as well. That seemed like that would make a bigger difference to the enjoyment and how the gameplay. It seemed to be a different thing before that I was wanting to see how it would work. And this thing seems to be that, okay, the way you've made it work is to make it more like everything else.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Go on then.
You say you're not as interested, but you're still interested.
Yeah.
So on a scale from flaccid to dripping wall proboscis,
Jesus,
how excited are
pretty
you?
Pretty excited.
No. I need to know where on that scale,
I think I'm like, you know, 75, 80% if I use a boring percentile because I'm not familiar with the exact ranges of your scale. But yeah, like, I'm still reasonably excited for the game. And as I said, I still trust the developer to make a good game in that setting that I will enjoy.
I mean, it's quite interesting. It's essentially kind of Sucker Puncher bookending the PS4 in some ways. You know, I think it's very much the swan song for the PS4. And, you know, I actually like the fact that Sucker Punch are kind of are consciously not making the game you would expect them to.
Yeah.
That it isn't quite as bombastic and ridiculous as the infamous series of games, which, don't get me wrong, still had some, you know, pretty dark undertones, narratively speaking, to them. But I really like the fact that it's kind of really grounded in, you know, essentially hand-to-hand combat.
I'm really looking forward to the fact that Infamous Second Son was my first PS4 game I played, and Sucker Punch's Ghost of Tsushima will probably be the last PlayStation game that I play, new PlayStation game that I play.
Not The Last of Us 2, maybe? But anyway.
Well, that comes out the month before.
He's going to be all strangle-dadded out by the time of that.
I really quite like some of the systems they showed off as well. Like, I like the wind system that directs you in you know,
you, the way, mate, the direction. You cannot do anything in feudal Japan without kicking up a bunch of leaves. Seriously, employ some gardeners with a rake. Get a rake. Seriously, the amount of mess you're creating is just bloody ridiculous.
Get someone behind you with a wind blower going, that way, that way.
There should be. I actually think there is someone. There's like some poor, you know, stagehand there just off the wings. You know, Kurosawa never had that kind of, you know, that kind of...
Talking of Kurosawa, the thing I really did like that they showed off was the fact that they've got a sort of a black and white, not even like necessarily just a black and white filter. It seems like a whole black and white mode where they've really concentrated on sort of making the graphics pop really nicely and still have some graduations to them and stuff. And I really quite liked the look of that. And obviously it's invoking those kind of old Japanese films and stuff like that you might have seen legendary sword fight type things in. And that side of things and all that side of stuff, that did make me more excited about the game as well, basically. So.
I am just really looking forward to having a standoff with the latest baddie, do the looks. You've got the sort of gong and stuff in the background, click of the sword, and then they both run at each other, and then like one's pulled the stance, and then you see the other one in the background fall in half. Like, I want that to happen. The game,
the old slow mo of they think nothing's happened, and then his kind of torso slides off.
Yeah, kind of that. Yeah,
yeah, nice.
That's
lovely.
Again, that's another
wholesome family entertainment.
I'm really hoping that, just not included in any of the trailers, there's a giant crab we have to fight.
See,
mate, there's got to be tentacles in there somewhere as well, isn't there?
I don't think there's going to be anything fantastical in this. I don't think so.
Shut your mouth, Timothy. Shut your mouth.
They're all completely separate it from Sekiro and other titles.
Stop trying to ruin our fun.
Also, I discovered a game yesterday called Fight Crab, which is coming to Steam. And okay. Yes,
Fight Crab, is that anything like gentle jousting?
Wait, have you ever seen the meme video of, there was a crab and a cook gave it a knife as a joke to take a photo, but then the crab's like waving the knife around and they can't, they've got the knife, they've got this crab in the corner that they're all cowering away from because he's got a knife. It's basically that, the video game.
Murder crab.
Yeah, I want this.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, I'm watching that video now. That is a terrifying crab. He's like, what?
I saw someone playing the preview and they lose and then he goes, I'm coming back with a gun. And he's like, with a what? And then there's this crab holding two pistols. But he can't aim them because he's a crab. So it's just shooting wildly into different areas.
Gee, that crab's a badass.
And that's why everyone should pick up Ghost of Tsushima.
because knife-wielding crabs.
Knife-wielding yes. crabs that won't be
giant
in the game.
Crabs.
But yeah, as I said, I'm still looking forward to it.
So that's July 17th on PlayStation 4, possibly with a PlayStation 5 port in tow. The second State of Play, which we got this week, yesterday in fact, as we're recording, The Last of Us Part 2, headed up by Neil Druckmann. He gave some details into the setting of the game, which I don't want to go into too much of the setting of the game because there are the purists that don't want to know anything about the game whatsoever, and kind of sort of giving a sense of what's going on in the atmosphere of the game, new enemy types. There's different types of infected and some that were alluded to that you're going to see, just kind of heard the noise, the growling and the noises of. And then they showed off another 20-minute gameplay demo. And I really like the look of the gameplay demo for two things. One was Ellie can swim now, which is good.
Well, she is all grown up now, mate.
Well, yeah, now she's 19. Now she can swim. That means the end of those really irritating puzzles where you would be strangled, Dad, and you would dive into the water and she goes, I can't swim. And then you have to go find a wooden pallet because there's always a wooden pallet by the bodies of water she can't swim past.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take that over to her, put her on the pallet and then swim her to a different location. And that's gone. And I hate that.
Plot twist.
Absolutely
plot
hate
twist.
That.
Plot twist,
Joel's
strangled
forgotten,
dad.
Yeah, he's forgotten how to swim.
He's forgotten how to swim, and it's now just the other way around.
Plot twist, strangled dad is now lighter than air, and he will keep floating away if you don't find bricks for him to hold.
She did seem to be kind of swimming under things and having to hold her breath, but not... Didn't seem like she could necessarily do that.
That's how swimming actually works, though, Tim.
It didn't seem like she would necessarily do that for a long amount of time, necessarily. No, I don't know.
Yeah, because they're using the swimming mechanic into the sort of stealth mechanics as well, and they show there's different ways of hiding. There's new enemy types. Like, enemies will now have guard dogs that can pick up your scent and track you down, which is terrifying.
Are they zombie dogs as well?
No, no. They're just regular guard dogs.
Yeah, because don't forget, there's all the kind of other people in societies, and they showed off...
Yeah, that's a good point.
They showed off Seattle. I think was the city and where a lot of the game takes place.
Because haven't they made a really big effort? I mean, I know it was very atmospheric, kind of gritty urbanness beforehand, but haven't they really kind of made a big effort to do quite faithful recreations of real life locations in Last of Us Part 2?
To some extent, because, you know, they're obviously all a bit destroyed and you know, things have sort of decayed and broken down. So it obviously won't be entirely the same, and I don't know exactly how accurate it is, but it is... more accurate, I think.
And it's got to be a kind of linear path to get you through the story, much like with the previous Last of Us games and the Uncharted games and stuff.
Well, it did seem like there was big open world sections and you could kind of swing via ropes to get to other portions and stuff. And there seemed to be a verticality to it as well, basically.
Much like Uncharted 4 and The Expanse alone, it's still this kind of A to B to C to Z pathway that you're following, but you'll have a section that's a kind of more open world.
Right,
but
yeah.
it's still part of the level. And I think that's what they're going to do here with The Last of Us Part 2. But yeah, they'll have real life locations because it is a real world and that we're following less the fantastical
it's
stuff.
It's not calm and it's not
Shut
real.
Up. I'm sure they'll take some artistic liberty for the sake of the gameplay, much like Uncharted 3, they had a very nice recreation of London, but I don't think you could, walk out of a pub, go into a warehouse, and then end up in a abandoned London Underground station.
Have a Jimmy Riddle, go get back because you're Hank.
I need to play Uncharted 3 again.
They talked about the two warring factions that are kind of at war with each other in the city of Seattle.
And there's it's the kind
liberals
of,
and anti-vaxxers.
One's the Scars, which they kind of look like if you remember the trailer where we saw the woman being tortured and they go clip her wings and they break her legs or her arms or something.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the Scars. They're the cult type enemies. And then the other one are more militant. They've overthrown a city and they've taken control of it. And they're the ones who use more guns and guard dogs and stuff. But yeah, all that looks terrifying and I'm looking forward to it. The gameplay itself, again, very impressive. I really liked that. One of the first enemies that Ellie sneaks up on is playing a PlayStation Vita, the second model with the LCD screen instead of the OLED.
Oh, God, times are tough then, aren't they?
That's it.
In this dystopian future, if you can't get a decent OLED
screen.
Yeah,
but
she
can charge off USB-C, so...
You can't do that with a Vita.
Oh, no, sorry,
too.
It's micro USB.
Kotaku put up a headline that said, the last PS Vita owner, basically.
No, Greg Miller's knocking about there somewhere, I'm pretty sure. But the best thing about that was the... So there's a girl playing the Vita. She's got headphones in. And then when she's being interrogated, the headphones come out and they've been detached and you can hear the music. And the music is Hotline Miami. There's a period where Ellie's sneaking around the level, but you can hear this Hotline Miami soundtrack in the background, which I really liked. But that's then going, if I have that, then I'm not going to be sneaking around. I'm going to be all amped up going, right, we're going to knock down this door and shotgun this guy. And
same thing. I mean, the kind of... very visceral murdering going on as well, though. She did him quite proficient in various different ways of murdering people quickly.
Well, she's learnt from the best.
She's learnt from the greatest strangler
greatest
of all time.
Strangled dad there was. Yep. I don't know about you. I don't know if you're in a similar position, Coleman. I played the first game to a point and then put it down and always meant to go back to it and never quite did.
I went back. Remember I went...
I think you did.
It was either earlier this year or last year. I sat and went throughout the entire game.
Right, yeah.
It's good, but I remember why I stopped so many times.
Right.
Because by the time the game actually picked up for me, I saw The Last of Us the first time and went, great, more Uncharted. This is what I want, but in a different setting. And then when you actually play it, it's like, this is nothing like Uncharted. This just looks like, it looks like the same engine and characters
visual
and stuff.
Fidelity, basically.
Yeah. And then
it's more Uncharted than Uncharted,
so
isn't it?
When it came to that's terrible. When it came to a point where I went, okay, I'm in for this game now. I'm totally on board. I think I had 20 minutes of the game left. I still haven't done the DLC though. I need to finish that.
But I watched that state of play, and if anyone hasn't, then one of two things. One, it made me very excited to actually play the game now. But two,
I have a question.
Yeah.
On a scale of...
Actually, I was going to forego this for the fact that I've got Ghost of Tsushima coming out. So I was like, maybe I'll wait and just get that. And I'm still arming and ahhing, but now I am much more interested in possibly picking up The Last of Us than I was before I watched this stream. But, a few minutes into the state of play, I was like, oh, okay. Thanks for all that info. I've no need to play the first game now. It kind of caught me up with the end of the game, and I was like, oh.
The big twist that happens at the end of that game is explained in the state of play. I didn't even think about that.
I was like, oh,
because
okay.
I thought I knew what the ending of The Last of Us was just through people talking about it, and then when I played it, I went, oh, that is not the ending I thought was going to happen. And
exactly
then
the same with me, but
at the start of this, they're literally like, oh, here you go.
Oh, and I was like, oh, okay, oh.
Yeah, but I've already put down my pre-order for this. My girlfriend's the biggest Last of Us fan. She plays online every day. So I've already got the pre-order for this. Unfortunately, there's no online, so...
Oh.
Aww.
But I think they're developing, I think they commented that they were working on multiplayer, but that's going to become its own separate game that's different to Last of Us. But
they should just put all their characters in one game, eh? All their Uncharted characters. And
there is a whole community to the Last of Us multiplayer.
Nadazbar.
That prefer it to the single player. It's quite mad. It's worth looking into.
Nadazbar is Naughty Dog All-Stars Battle Royale is what it's going to be.
When's Avengers out? When's the Avengers come out? Because I want to play that game too.
Wasn't that supposed to be August?
I think that is August. Okay, maybe I'm
right
not...
in time. Right in time, Tim, for the second wave of coronavirus. So you'll be able to stay inside and play it.
Yeah, so maybe Ghost of Tsushima isn't the last PlayStation game I play. Last PlayStation exclusive game that I play.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Again.
Or cut PlayStation console exclusive.
Maybe I play Avengers on PC like a madman.
Mad lad.
Multiplayer, hasn't it? Come to the console side.
Nah,
come to the PC side.
I don't like it when mummy and daddy fight. Okay, so that's it. That's our headlines. We had two PlayStation State of Plays, two great looking games. I'm looking forward to playing both of them. But now we have a ridiculous amount of what we done played, including stuff.
Yeah, we do.
We're on the lost episode that we have to talk about, and new stuff for this week that we have to talk about. Tim,
yes,
you have got a review copy of Maneater that you need to talk about, so we best get that out of the way first. I, in preparation, have picked up Maneater, so let's talk about Maneater.
Maneater.
Okay, I definitely want to talk about Maneater. Going with the club version? I thought you were just going to sing
it. Yeah, the club version of Nelly Furtado.
It's the only way to do it.
Do not sleep on this game.
I have a question. What do you mean by that? Is it uncomfortable?
Oh, it's a disc.
No. Just
it might snap and get shards in you.
Don't let it pass you by just because there are bigger titles on the horizon, basically, and you may not have
Horizon Zero Dawn coming to PC this October.
Maneater is a open world RPG type game where you play the part of a shark.
Excuse me, Tim.
Yes.
According to the press release, it is a shark PG.
Which is only funny if you read it. But you are playing from the perspective of a shark.
A bull shark.
Yeah, a bull shark, indeed. This is...
Language.
Almost undoubtedly, I can't think of anything... There's a couple of things that get close, but this is almost undoubtedly my favourite open world game of this generation.
About sharks?
No qualifier for sharks. Just in general. This is going to be in a strong contender for my game of the year this year. And you know how much I've enjoyed some games this year. Like, this is how highly I regard this game. It is fantastic. It is really, really good. It's really silly. It's really fun. It looks really good. Like, the graphically, like, the environments look quite nice. The water effects you'd expect to be reasonable and stuff. But, like, the lighting and stuff and the way that it kind of interacts with the water and stuff is really nice. You start in kind of environments that are, like, more like sort of Florida swamps. I don't want to... It seems really silly.
Is it meant to be Florida? I thought it was, like... Louisiana Bayou.
Yeah, Louisiana Bayou, yeah.
Because everyone's got that crazy accent.
Yeah, that's more like it. But it's kind of, you know, it's...
I guarantee it.
Kind of small rivers and lots of crocodiles, basically.
Alligators.
Gators, sorry. References what? Some quokks. Crocs, but more gators.
Oh yeah, I guess there are crocs as well.
Yeah, but
so is it basically young shark full of ideas makes his way to the big city?
The beginning of the game. It sounds really silly, but that's the one bit of the story I'm not going to spoil.
Not young shark, baby shark.
Baby shark.
Do 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 do.
Wow.
Yeah,
really.
But you start as a baby shark, you go up to a teen for a while, and then you're an adult, and then an elder, and then a mega shark, basically. I am up to the stage of Mega Shark.
Oh, nice. I'm a teen at the minute.
Yeah, like, you stay a teen for quite a while, actually. It takes a while to get out of that area. But yeah, like, the game kind of expands as you expand. And as you get to be a bigger shark, you get bigger environments to kind of swim. As I said, there was the kind of Louisiana swamps with its little rivers. And then you go all the way up to kind of massive, like... deep water trench ocean, basically. And yeah, all the environments are like really nicely realized. The game Right, I will come back to a couple of technical hiccups in a minute, but the game, other than a couple of technical hiccups, is really well designed from a game world standpoint, and UI and design and everything like that. Like, it's all just really well integrated. You've got like a sonar, and everything's like upgradable. That's upgradable as well, but that you can kind of ping in through the environment, and it helps you see some of the collectibles, some of the paths and stuff that you can go through. And also highlights the different fish and other animals that are, and humans that are there for you to eat, basically. And
I have a question. Yes? Is this basically Echo the Dolphin's Gone Off the Deep
yes,
End?
Yes, I did refer to it as Evil Echo the Dolphin that I never knew I wanted, basically.
Okay, good.
Oh, I always knew I wanted that.
but yeah, this is... It surpassed what I kind of wanted. Like, everything that I've been like, oh, I hope they put that in the game. It's like, oh, they have put that in the game. And, like, it's, yeah, really simple. But you get, like, different... What's the word I'm looking for?
Sharks.
Different elements that you can collect
fish
from the things you eat, basically. So they break down into protein, mineral, fat, and mutagens, basically.
Mutagens? What?
Well, that's the type of thing that gives you the weird...
Those are those breakfast cereal bars?
No, they're really
basically
not common.
It's the MacGuffin in the game that helps give you, like...
super sharp powers.
Yes, and that's where some of the ridiculousness comes into it, because you can have, like, three different, like, armor sets, essentially, that different parts of your body you can upgrade, and you can have the bone version, which just... which gives you kind of a bone outer coating, which makes it harder.
It makes you look like Doomsday the Shark.
Yes, but it's really good for taking on boats, and it's really good when you're going up against hunters and stuff, basically. Then you get other sets like the bioelectric set and the, like, it's a stealth set, but I can't remember. They don't call it stealth. What is it? Shadow set, basically. The bioelectric stuns and there's other things that it does with it as well, but the bioelectric basically stuns and the shadow basically poisons. You've got like various different attacks. The main attack is just being able to bite things because you're a shark. Surprise, surprise.
I thought there was going to be spoilers, Tim. God damn it.
That kind of does a lunging attack that will go in the direction of whatever you're targeting. And the targeting system's quite good as well. I quite like that way that could just... It feels natural.
I don't like
fluid
the targeting system.
You can change it.
I find myself missing things a lot.
Yeah, right.
Which usually is not a good point of a targeting system.
Yes, but that's often related to the direction of your head and direction of travel. When you get used to like turning around and turning quickly and doing stuff, it works really quite well, I think, basically. I really like just swimming around and eating stuff. The very basic things of this game is just really fun. It's really stupid when you're like jumping out of the water and flopping over the beach to then lunge at some humans and eat some people on the beach and stuff like that, basically.
I have a question. Do you get style points for particularly creative and show offy ways to eat
things?
No,
it just looks cool and feels good, basically. Like that's the reward you get for it. But I was just going to say, there's loads of different kind of variety of level types. Some of them are like progressive. Like there's ones where you like thinning out the population of seals in a certain area or something. And when you do three of those areas, the apex predator for that area will come out and stuff like that. And you have to fight the apex predator. Once you've done all the things in the area, collecting... I don't think you have to collect all the collectibles, but you have to do all the different missions in the area and stuff like that. Once you've done that, then your nemesis, Scaly Pete, comes out, and you have to kind of... there's usually a sort of interaction more than a fight, but it kind of progresses the story. And part of the story is the fact that basically Scaly Pete is having a reality TV show filmed about him and his son going out on the boat and fishing for sharks, basically. And the show is called Maneater. And that
I have a question. Why is he called Scaly Pete? Does he have psoriasis?
Yes. Oh,
good.
I don't know. He's just called Scaly Pete. The show is called Maneater, and it's kind of like one of those TLC channel, Shark Week, Discovery Channel type things.
Is it Channel 5, basically?
Kind of.
It's what you see on Channel 5.
But the It's one of those shows that's dressed up to be an educational, fly-on-the-wall documentary-type show, but really it's kind of schlocky entertainment. But the best part about that is the narrator of the show is Chris Parnell from SNL, the dad from Rick and Morty. And so a lot of the time, he kind of narrates what you do as the shark.
Yeah.
And he'll make comments on things that happen. And like one of the funniest things I like, if you lose to a crocodile, there's a lot of crocodiles. If you get killed by a crocodile, it's like 50 million years of evolution and you lost to a handbag. You know?
There is so many great one-liners in it. Like, it genuinely adds to the enjoyment of the game to such a degree. That's what's elevated it from a really good, well-made game to a, like, well, it's just added that extra bit of flavor and stuff like that. There's so many good little one-liners related to a lot of the kind of, I can't remember what they call them, but sites you find that have got like a signpost on them. And then they kind of, a lot of those give like really funny pop culture references or just silly little things that are going on under the sea and stuff like that. And it makes you want to go out and find them. It's one of those games, like I find in open world games a lot of the time I will go out and go, oh, there's loads of different things to do. Oh my God, that's too much. And I can't be bothered and blah, blah, blah. This is one of the games where I want to do everything that's available in the game. I want to find every secret. And I've been playing it with my flatmate as well, but we're both really enamored with it. We both want to sort of go back to previous levels whenever we get new skills or level up a bit so that we can go get the things that we couldn't get before and stuff like that. It's just been really enjoyable from that side of things. And yeah, I really heartily recommend it from that point.
What's the best thing you've eaten in it?
Biggest or best?
Best. Most enjoyable snack of the sea.
Oh, probably a hammerhead shark. But
nice.
But I have also eaten a great whale.
The first time you take down
fat bastard.
The first time you take down like one of the kind of boss crocodile alligator.
Yeah, those are really cool.
It's really satisfying to then just feast on the flesh.
Wow, yeah. That went
well,
places.
The bigger bosses will kind of like break up into little pieces. But the animations and the way that you can eat or sort of attack the smaller creatures and then progressively big creatures changes as you change in size as well. So when you're a really small shark, you kind of, once you've defeated a bigger thing, it will be there in like lots of chunks. Whereas when you get to be a bigger shark, I'm eating like Mako sharks whole now, basically, kind of thing.
You've
got like added attacks as well. There's like a thrash attack where you can like ride around and wiggle the joystick.
Thrashing is fun.
Yeah, that's really good fun. And just, yeah, it's just, as I said, it's got like just really good elements like layered on top of each other that just really add to the enjoyment of the game and make it so that as soon as you've done something, you're like, okay, I'm just off and swimming and eating stuff. And, oh, there's something over there. And, okay, I want to do this. And, oh, I've done that. Now I can do this. And it pulls you
through
the
game. Sounds a bit like a beach holiday so far. I'm just hungry. I want to eat things. I get bored quickly and want to do something else.
But, yeah, it's really good from that standpoint. But, yeah.
I need to tell you my technical issue I've had with the game.
Well, especially I'm interested because you're on PC. But, yeah.
I'm playing this on Epic's launcher.
Epic. Good, you're playing on PC.
Yeah,
good.
The problem I'm having with the game is whenever my shark levels up, it then starts the game again, playing the intro sequence and stuff, and then takes it to the tutorial point where I am the baby or the teenage shark instead of like the regular tutorial, which means I don't have any of the moves that I'm meant to be using to progress. Then I have to reset the game, close it down fully, go back into it, and then it will then allow me back to the previous point where I was meant to be. It's quite annoying.
Yeah, I can see that. That's a much bigger annoyance, and that's hopefully something that can be patched out instantly, because, yeah, that's a shame. I've had lesser technical issues. I've had, I think, two, blue screen crashes, but...
That sounds more serious than it is when you're on a PlayStation.
Everything's blue on the PlayStation. Color it's set to.
But you know when it crashes to the blue screen and chucks you out. But more ongoing issue that's more of a problem though is, oh my word, and this may be related to the crashes as well, is, oh my word, does this make my PlayStation loud? My PS4 Pro is straining to keep up with this.
To be fair, just even turning my PS4 Pro on these days, it sounds like it's taken off.
We've all got Gen 1 PS4 Pros, and they are loud by nature.
Yeah.
I think it's the Gen 3 PS4 Pros, they finally sorted that out.
I know, I've heard other people talk about it in the context of this game. This game, more so than anything, put it this way, it was like, okay, I'm going to turn this off and clean my PS Pro. And I literally cleaned the fan.
I recommend you helps. Do that anyway, because yeah, no, I've like, seen the dust that gathers around your consoles.
I needed to do that anyway. But having done that, it helped for like a day or so, and even then, it still wasn't like whisper quiet or anything, but it just kicks off. It really does go. And occasionally when there is a hell of a lot going on screen, like if you kick off one of the big fights with a load of hunters while there's lots of other things already going on, there can be a bit of slowdown and it gets noisy as hell when that's happening as well. So I don't know if there's some patching that needs doing on the technical side of things, but that's been the only thing that's like,
as opposed to the physical side of things.
But we're not, I mean, on the technical side of things, but I mean, from a gameplay.
Where else are you going to patch?
Gameplay.
Put plaster on it, mate, is what you want to do. Okay. Put plaster on your PS4 Pro.
Gameplay. And I was about to say, if you didn't interrupt me, that from a gameplay perspective, this game is fantastically fun. Like,
To be fair, we're about 40 minutes in, and it's about right for Tim to get at this point, in all fairness.
I don't remember having this much like unilateral fun throughout a whole gaming experience, basically. Like, there's usually something that annoys me about a game, or something that I find fiddly or crappy, or you know, some point that you just don't get on with. But I haven't found it in this game. Like, aside from
is
the
it as good
things,
as Rise like, in your eyes, Tim?
It's better.
Wow!
Because it's
not many games can
which
say
you,
that.
Which you
can
would expect
they?
From a non-launch title. 6 years into the console life cycle, but hey.
So this is a Hibs recommend.
A strong recommend. I would, with the slight caveat that they need to patch a few of the technical issues. The one other thing that I should have said right at the start, I think you mentioned the fact that I got a review copy, but I think it's about £35. And there, for me, there is a AAA full titles worth of content in this game, basically. And like 40 hours of enjoyment, basically, and like a lot of fun had while playing it and stuff. Like, so yeah, I just
can
really
you
like
go into a tornado?
I have not seen a Sharknado as yet.
They need to cross this over with Just Cause 4.
Yeah, but come on, that you'd save that for near the end of the game, wouldn't you? There was a really funny achievement name which I quite liked. When it ate a great white, it said, "It's my movie."
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't have your enthusiasm for this game.
No?
Playing myself. No, it's got a novelty appeal, and that is, if you want to muck around being a shark for a bit, that's pretty good. But I don't see it lasting me as long as it's lasted you. It's still fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's 35 quid's fun. Maybe, you know, fiver off that or something. But also, it is worth mentioning, this is coming to the Switch later this year, and I think this would be much more suited as a Switch handheld. Like, this is your commute game, this is your...
Also,
I really need to be mucking about
Switch
with something.
And look as good as it does right now.
We'll have to see.
But yeah, if it's a really good port, then possibly. But
yeah,
I don't know. As I said, I have had nothing but fun with this game. Like, a massive smile on my face for every minute I'm playing it. And when I'm not playing it, I'm thinking about playing it. It's that kind of thing for me at the moment. So, yeah.
It's the Bloodborne of shark games.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that the shark can roar. It, like Jaws. Like, sharks can't roar. They don't roar.
They roar. Roar. Roar.
But yeah,
you don't need a soundboard when you have my face.
It's something that's been mocked in Jaws. I think it's Jaws 1 or Jaws 2, but the shark roars in one of the scenes, and people are like, sharks can't roar. They don't roar.
I mean, this is...
That anatomically cannot.
Yeah, this is not entirely biologically accurate. I would definitely say that much.
What?
But I don't know. Like,
what?
One of the things I really quite like about it is it does feel like you're part of an ecosystem in terms of, you know, like there's a pecking order to things, especially when you're a younger shark type thing. And you're like, okay, that's too big for me to go and eat right now. I better leave that alone for now. But I'll go eat this little fishy. And I've sang that a lot while playing it. But hey.
Right. I'm going to stop you talking about Maneater, Tim, because otherwise we've got 20 minutes left of the show, and it's all going to be on shark-related content.
But yeah, hey.
All right, just on one last note on the cost, Tom, and you think £35 is too high. For £35 on Amazon, you can buy dinosaur taco holders, like a little T-Rex that you put the taco in the top
I'm
of.
Sold.
Is that a better buy in your eyes than Maneater? Okay, right.
No, I don't know. I haven't seen the taco holders.
And you're, you know, Taco Tuesday. That's only once a week.
I do like tacos. I enjoyed it. I'm just not as enthusiastic about it as Tim is. Why does it say?
I wonder how much your technical issue has hampered your enjoyment of it, though.
Yeah, maybe. I just don't see. It being a lot that it is a pretty cool taco holder to Dan. You've sold me. Yeah, stuff it. Don't buy Maneater. Everyone go get dinosaur shaped taco holders. I have seen it discounted on key sites, but key sites, it's a bit iffy. We don't know if it's a legal key or what.
Yeah. But Timpsons is having a really hard time at the moment in lockdown, so.
They've shut down, they've shut them all.
Have they locked up?
Yeah. They won't let
irony
them
there.
It's pretty good. Dan, Mia and yourself have been playing Minecraft Dungeons.
We have.
Or have we been playing Minecraft Dungeons?
Or have we been playing the what's name out of that for at least an evening?
Three evenings now, my
three
friend.
Three evenings. I've nearly finished the game. So Minecraft Dungeons is... Yeah, it's not long.
It's short.
It's short. So Minecraft Dungeons is the what can only be described as the bastard love child of Diablo 2 and Minecraft.
AKA Baby's First Diablo, AKA Diablo made by Traveller's Tales. Because it very much feels like a Lego game.
Yes. So the plot is there's a villager, an illager, if you will, who's been outcast from society and has had enough of it, and he's gone to the dark side and has found a special stone that he's put in a scepter, and he's now a big evil bad man. You've got to sort him out. You know, the fact that this is Minecraft, it could be bloody anything, really. It could be any franchise. It could be anything. And, you know, to me, I just wanted to play a different dungeon crawler just to get an idea of what it was like. Unsurprisingly, it does not have the depth of, say, a Diablo. There's not a massive loot pool that tends to be variations on a theme pretty quickly. Levels are, you know, the variety in the enemies is not fantastic, but again, were you really expecting that? And it looks a bit like Minecraft, but from a isometric perspective. I mean, it comes as part of Game Pass, and I think, you know, if you've already signed up for that, it's worth
might as well take a
look. Might as well take a punt. Is it going to itch that Diablo itch that you've still got? Probably no, it's not. But there are some quite cool mechanics in there. There's no crafting system.
I was about to ask that. Is there any mining?
Yeah.
No crafting, no mining.
What?
No crafting, no mining.
You can have a pickaxe as a weapon, though.
You can, but the fact that there's no crafting is such an obvious slam dunk they could have made to upgrade your gear or kind of even build new versions of stuff. I'm just amazed that wasn't in there. I mean, there are some interesting things with the loot that you get, that obviously there's gear rarity, but actually what that does is just reflect the stats or the number of unlockable perks it might have.
It's a different coloured frame around the object.
Yeah.
Mm. Great. Yeah.
And so there's not a huge amount of variety there. And in some ways, I almost wish it embraced the tweeness of Minecraft a little more. It doesn't feel, in my mind, silly enough if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get it. The interesting thing is, and I mentioned this while we were playing, there is a Telltale made a Minecraft game. They made several, I think they made like three seasons of a Minecraft game. Minecraft Tales
Minecraft,
or Tales of the Minecraft,
Minecraft 2, Craft Harder.
Something like that.
Minecraft 3, Craft Hard with a Vengeance.
And it's usually overlooked because it's at the period where Telltale games are kind of on the way out. And, you know, people were done with them. And also people were kind of done with Minecraft on a larger scale as it has been in the past. But what they made was a story game that kind of harkens back to a lot of 80s movies. Like Goonies is a big reference that they use in those games. And it's got a lot of charm. And again, it's those characters that live in that Minecraft world. And they do reference, you know, they do crafting, they do battling, they do mining, you know, all the stuff that you come to get in those games, but you get it in a story. And it's a shame that they couldn't really, apart from the aesthetic look of the characters and the world, which, by the way, the Minecraft world and isometric view, it's really nice looking. I do like that. But it's a shame they couldn't incorporate things like, you know, there's different armor sets. But you don't see diamond armor, gold armor, none of that stuff. The weapons are referenced in things, but there's no real point to it, you know? It just seems like
a missed opportunity, basically.
If you've got kids that are mad into Minecraft and they like that world and you want something for them to play that isn't another Lego game, this might be a decent game for them.
There, yeah. I mean, apparently, just having a little read on Tinternet, there is actually, if you're playing on PC, a bit of a... If you've decided you've had enough of Minecraft and want to uninstall it, proceed with caution. Oh. Because in certain cases, apparently, if you uninstall it, it can kind of take the rest of your hard drive with it by mistake.
Oh. And this... Wait. Is this the game install or the app install?
So I think it's the game. So it's, I think a fix has already been issued. So make sure you've updated it before you install it. So it's specifically if you've installed it in a custom directory, and I think it's probably the non-app store version.
Yeah.
If via the Minecraft Dungeons launcher. So it removes not only the game's directory, but also its parent directory as well.
That's
so let's
scary.
Say you had it in C/Minecraft Dungeons. The parent directory of C/Minecraft Dungeons is your entire
hard drive. Yeah, is your computer, basically.
Yeah. So make sure if you have played it so it's not for you, you want to uninstall it, please make sure you've updated the latest version. Quick PSA.
A word of caution. But this is out on... This is out on Xbox as well, and PlayStation and Switch.
And Switch? I could see it being quite an enjoyable little Switch game,
yeah,
to be honest.
Again, it's that... If you put this into a handheld factor, then it's more enjoyable for me because this is a little time waster rather than a game that I'm dedicating, you know, my hours at home to. And that's kind of where it loses its appeal with me. But as a Switch game, I could see that being enjoyable. The weirdest thing I found was there's no cross-play with Xbox.
Nope.
And your saves don't transfer Xbox to PC either, which is very strange.
But it's very odd considering it's first party,
and owned
essentially.
It's owned by Microsoft, so it's mad.
Anyway.
But yeah, it's by no means a bad game. It's just it could have been more.
Yep.
Really.
Crafting, seriously. Why isn't that in there? It's in the name of the game. Come on. Throw me a freaking bone here, seriously. Jeez.
So, moving on. Tim, you said you had something go wrong with your PSVR, and
yes.
You need to talk about Gorn. And we were meant to be talking about Iron Man VR, but you've had a problem, and I haven't had time.
Right.
Did you have too much Gornage?
We spoke about Gorn on the Lost Episode.
The Lost Episode.
The Lost Episode.
The best episode ever recorded.
It was a good
to be
episode.
Fair, it was kind of eh.
I mean,
was the best episode ever recorded.
Coleman did possibly overuse the soundboard, so it may have been.
No, that was the one before that actually went out.
Okay.
It made a certain Kevin White very grumpy.
Yeah.
Bye, grab fast.
But yeah, I did speak about Gorn last week. Now, I said
No, you didn't.
I said, and I will reiterate, that I really enjoyed the game, and it's really silly fun. It's a kind of gladiatorial combat-based PSVR game, basically.
And things get very messy in that game, don't they?
Bloody in a slightly comically ridiculous manner, basically. So you've got, like, stupidly proportioned people with massive shoulders and big heads.
Sounds
stuff.
Like me.
Yeah, just like you, Coleman. Picture you in a Roman gladiatorial setting. There you go. Yeah, that's it. And yeah, generally...
I mean, you do look a bit like Russell Crowe. Only problem is Russell Crowe in 2020, so...
But yeah, in Gorn, you're kind of able to, like, get some really violent weaponry, like maces and swords, and really smack people about with them a bit, and make their heads explode and chests explode.
Nice.
And
lovely.
Arms and legs you can rip off, and you can pull off
can
people's
you, can
heads
you rip
with
someone's arm
hands.
Off then beat them about the head with their own
yes,
arm
yes you probably I don't know if it does significant damage, but you can, like, I've ripped someone's hand off and thrown it at them before.
Slapped them with their yes. own hand.
I did see a gameplay where you can pull it off about shoulder and then beat them with their own soggy dead arm.
Yeah.
Lovely.
All the weapons have got like a like the physics is good, but it's also ridiculous. Like, if you're holding a
very
big
rubbery.
Mace that should be, yeah, like a big strong thing, and it's all very rubbery and wobbles about and kind
so,
of.
Hang on, you just make it sound like you're trying to bludgeon people to death with dildos, quite
basically,
frankly.
I mean, it's from the creators of Genital Jousting.
Yeah,
so.
Oh, well, there we go.
It is ridiculous fun. Now, I did say, and it's probably a good thing that we didn't put this out in some way, because I did say that the one thing that was holding me back was we seem to be struggling with some of the weaponry, particularly the throwing knives and other bits and bobs. And I'd seen other people online saying they were struggling with them, so I was guessing it wasn't an isolated thing. But having moved on to try and play Iron Man this week, which we, as I said, we did want to talk about, but Coleman didn't get time, and I couldn't because I fired up the demo and started playing, and through various like restarts of the demo, we kind of learnt that one hand or one of my two move controllers, the trigger was either permanently on or permanently off and wouldn't be persuaded to go either way once it was in that state, basically. So, yeah.
I've heard you go either way.
Yeah. Well, Iron Man...
Was it like it was someone else's hand?
Iron Man was more noticeable than it was with Gorn, and I don't know if it's just because it's got worse over time, and I expect it was, or it was just more noticeable in this. But I suspect I will have to save my overall thoughts on Gorn until I've got that repaired, and I can't play Iron Man until that's the case.
Were you mourning over Gorn?
No.
Gorning, if you will.
Gorning.
That's gurning. I have a problem with my move controller as well. And I need to know, do you know if there's a way of manually selecting which one will be the left and which one will be the right? Because one of my controllers has decided the move button doesn't want to double click anymore.
I think it's the order you turn them on in for some games and not others. So depends on the game.
Because in one of the games that I play, you have to double tap the move controller to sprint.
Yeah.
On the left controller.
But you don't have to do it on the right.
No, the right is used for crouching, which is a single click, which is fine.
Yeah.
But now I keep getting the wrong controller and I can't sprint and I have to turn the whole thing off and try to figure out how to do it again.
I think it's the order you turn them in on for some games, so that might help.
Turn them in on or turn them on
but
in.
Yeah, I've looked up how to clean the trigger and oh my word, that's a bit involved.
There's a solution you can get to kind of saturate.
And it's called soap.
It's not soap.
Isopropanol.
There's a spirit that you can use for cleaning mechanics.
Isopropyl alcohol.
That's the one.
I'm aware there is some in my house. I've just looked at it and went, oh my word.
It's rubbing alcohol, basically.
Yeah, but the problem is that you need to take the thing apart and get to the actual button that you then have to take apart, take out, and then put back together.
Or maybe you could just wash your hands, Tim. Jesus.
But also the video that I was looking at, the guy took like three attempts of different things to even get it to start registering. And in the end, he was scratching it with a screwdriver and isopropanol. So I was like, maybe I'll check another video before I actually check this out.
Also, I used to live with you, so there's probably not a left of that, lot left a lot left of that alcohol.
You've been drinking it.
Wow.
Hardcore, mate.
Wow.
But yeah, no, it's something I'm going to have a fiddle with, because I went, the other problem I had is I went online and went, oh.
Is that still like just, someone else's hand as well?
I'll just go pick up another PS Move controller. That's not too bad. Because the other thing, I had a spare and I lent it to someone and I don't have it back. But I could hopefully get that back at some point. But in the meantime, you can't buy Move controllers brand new singularly anymore.
Since they relaunched the Move controller, you can only buy them in packs of two.
And if I wanted to buy Iron Man with two controllers, and I think it comes with a camera as well, I think yeah. It's 85 quid, that pack they're doing a deal on. If I wanted to buy a single Move controller on its own, secondhand, £65.
What?
£65 at CEX at the moment.
But the coronavirus is for free, mate.
Well,
so
what we can do, Tim, if we're both having a problem with a singular controller, we could go halves on a double pack of controllers and just take one each.
Oh, you guys.
But see, I'm considering just getting the Iron Man bundle, because then
I'm just thinking of spending
a spare
money.
Camera and a spare Move when the other one dies.
Someone's furlough check came in.
That's it.
But
someone's earning.
It doesn't. Yeah, like, the problem is I don't want to invest in this hardware now when we're so close to the end of the life cycle, but I really want to play Iron Man and a few other things, and I've got loads of other games that I won't be able to play unless I do have two functioning Move controllers.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh. But then I'm really hopeful that we're going to get an upgrade to those fairly soon in the PS5's life cycle. Sooner than we'll actually get a headset.
It's a shame I can't even come around and fix it for you.
Yeah, I'm going to have a go myself on the basis that it's fairly useless in its current state, so...
Mm.
Yeah. And that should hopefully save me from being stupid enough to do man maths to spend £85 on one Move controller. Well, and Iron Man.
So, Gorn, is that a recommend?
As I said, I'm going to have to hold my final decision on that until I get a fully functioning Move controller, because I'm not sure how much that was hampering my gameplay of it. Like, I did enjoy it. It's silly and fun, and it's definitely worth checking out if that sounds interesting to you. I don't think it's that expensive. Is it £16, £17, something like that?
£15.99.
Yeah, it's
that's
yeah,
not bad.
It's really silly. It's good fun, and if you've got PSVR and two functioning Move controllers, check it out and let me know what you think of it. But yeah,
is it available on other VR platforms?
Yeah, and it's come out on PC last year or even earlier, and it's well thought of in that regard as well, basically, as well. So yeah,
it's on Oculus, it's on Steam.
Yeah, and the other thing that's tempting me is, do I just bite the bullet and buy an Oculus Quest?
Yeah, you could.
I really want an Oculus Quest.
I really want an Oculus Quest.
I just don't want to spend a stupid amount of money on an Oculus Quest.
Well, there's that.
Well, it might be worth hanging on, because I think hardware refreshes on all of the big VR headsets are coming up. Like the Rift S is out of stock. HP are about to do a new
the Source
version.
Oh, do like bit of daddies.
Yeah, it's tasty. It's like if you actually just, but don't do this. Because you'll have too many gigapixels going to your eyes. It's like the equivalent of squeezing brown sauce into your eyeballs. That's what I've heard.
I hear no problem with this.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. It's refreshing.
I would like one just for the simplicity, especially because I'm constantly mucking around with the setting of the camera and the headset and stuff and where I'm standing.
It does seem a lot easier.
I hear a lot of that is eliminated with the Quest, and I would really like that, but the Quest is quite pricey, and considering we have PS4, like...
PS5.
The rumblings is PS4... The rumblings is PS4s are... That we're going to get some news next week, so... Who knows?
Yes.
It could be coming soon.
Jason Squire was saying about a possible PlayStation reveal June the 3rd, I think it was, is the rumour at the moment, I think. But yeah, like, that is my other consideration with the Quest as well, though. That we've got at least one console purchase to come this year, and I'm better off with money than I was, but I still need to be careful with money going forward for a bit, because I don't know how my business is going to be affected for a while, basically.
In this current climate, it is best to stay away from large purchases, unless you're buying a small personal air conditioner for your room.
Well, especially as... Well,
can confirm, they're good.
I mean, I know, I was looking at them the other day.
See, yeah. I don't need them. My flat's nice and cool, but hey.
It's boiling here.
I am.
Oh, mate, I am look, all kinds of...
Up here, sunburn. Here is just red from heat.
I'm all kinds of unpleasantly moist at the moment.
Nice and cool.
Can we do one more game
Yay.
Before we go? Cool.
All right, squeeze it in.
Right.
No. No, squeezing it out, technically.
The Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners. So this is a new game in the Walking Dead universe, although it seems to be its own separate universe from the comics, the TV show, and the Telltale series. This is another VR title, so Tim can get excited, Dan can go to sleep. This is, again, a much pricier game than Gorn. I think this is $35.99 or $34.99, around £35.
You could buy Maneater for that much.
You could buy Maneater for this much. But I believe...
Or some awesome taco-holding dinosaurs.
Fair point. And that is what we call a callback.
A callback, ladies and gentlemen. A callback.
Anyway,
we're here all week.
I think this is the price is justified for this game because this game is a quote unquote full VR game. This is a game with a story that you can come back to. Apparently, it'll last you about 15 hours if you try to run straight through the whole thing. So it's a pretty decent amount of time for a game of this style, and it is that kind of quest of virtual reality where you're like, I want a proper game. I want a big game that I can immerse myself into and be in that world. And we seem to have had it twice this year. One without Half-Life Alyx, which isn't available on PlayStation VR.
No reason I want a
Walking
quest.
Dead. Yeah, and one with Walking Dead Saints and Sinners, which is available on the PlayStation VR. This game is another one where people in a part of America have this weird kind of American French Southern accent. This one is set in New Orleans or Narlins. And this is that this is around about the time where they had the big flood. If you remember all that in the media a while ago. And I believe around about that time is when Walking Dead, the show, when the comic book and all that stuff was happening. So this is the flood happened, military dispatched and aid and everything is dispatched. And then 2 weeks after the flood, walkers, the zombie outbreak happened. So you're kind of not only just taking place in this Walking Dead world, but you have this flood in New Orleans that you're going through. A bit like The Last of Us Part Two, it's kind of factions that exist within this place. You've got kind of cultist members, you've got more militant members, and then you have these kind of freedom fighter characters that are looking for this supposed stash called the Reserve, which is meant to be like weapons and medicine, food, and all this relief stuff that's been sent to New Orleans during the flood that no one got to use because the outbreak happened. So it's supposedly hidden somewhere in a military bunker that you were trying to find. Your character, you play the traveler or the tourist. No, it is the tourist. You play the tourist and you just go through this world stabbing zombies in the head and also people and trying to figure out who to kind of be on side of.
Or at least you're consistent, right?
Yeah, who to deceive. You can go through being a good guy, being an arsehole. And this is by far one of my favorite VR games to ever come out. I've recently got back into The Walking Dead through the TV show and the comics. I fell off it for a very long time, but even without that, that enjoyment of the show and the comics, I think this is a game for anyone with a VR headset that wants a big, full, in-depth game because it doesn't really have much, unless you've got like the pre-order super duper deluxe edition of the game, which has like Negan's baseball bat and Rick Grimes' gun included in the game. There's not really many references to the actual world itself. There's no characters that are going to pop up that you don't know about or anything like this. It seems to be its own separate Walking Dead world that you don't need to have any prior knowledge of. That said, the game itself, it's basically kind of a roguelike where you're going out into different sections. You'll have a mission. Maybe it's an object you have to find. Maybe it's someone you have to meet or something you have to steal. And bringing that back to base, the way the game works is you have kind of a home base and you have different areas you can go out to. Yeah, or B&Q. And you've got different areas you can go out to. And each time you go out to an area, that will take a day off your time. You have to go back to your home base and then go to bed. And then you can start the next day because you don't go out at night when there's walkers about.
Everyone knows that. First rule of zombies.
Yeah, and anything you've scavenged, you can...
I thought it was dockers, but, you know, that'll do as well.
Anything you've scavenged, you can take back to your base, break apart, and use different elements to build different weapons, medicines, items, and things to help you along the way.
I heard the weapons are very good in the game as well, no?
Yeah, different. The handheld weapons especially are very fun to use. Guns take a bit of getting used to. Two-handed weapons take a bit of getting used to. But the main, like, shivs, knives, screwdrivers, whatever you want to use to stab a walker in the head, very fun.
Lovely. Pointy sticks of all varieties.
It's those ones are quicker to get the hang of, but you do find, like, very first off, you'll sneak up behind a walker, stab it in the head, and it will just, like, the blade will kind of graze off their head or bounce off it, and you go, oh yeah, skulls, they're pretty hard, so you've got to really strike at it to get it to work, and it's a very good feeling and very satisfying when you do it. I stab many a walker in the head and have a lot of fun doing so. But it's a lot of fun. It's mostly like resource collecting and then building and then going out there, and the thing is, each time you refresh to a new day to go to a new level, that means there'll be more walkers in a level and less supplies for you to find as well. So the longer the game lasts for you, like I'm on day 10 and the game just gets insanely more harder the further you go on. So it's a bit of that. And you'll find yourself going to one level, struggling with all these different bad guys that are out there that aren't necessarily walkers, different types of humans. And then you could come back to there after a few days and just find that their base is completely gone and just overrun with walkers because they've all died out. So there's a bit of element to that too as well. The other big thing is at the end of the day, if you're in a level for too long, then church bells will go off and a horde of walkers will flood the streets, and you'll have to... So you've got to kind of get away from the level before they all turn up. There is a way
it's
out.
It's because they all want to go to church.
No, they use the bells as a distraction, so they're like off the streets when this happens. And I did find myself the kind of the first time I was stuck in a mansion.
Zombie Jesus is back.
I was in a mansion.
Say hello to our Lord and Savior.
I think he's a zombie himself. The
zombie Jeebus.
I found myself in a mansion scavenging, and the bells went off, and I didn't know quite what was going on. And I thought, oh, I'll just wait in this mansion until the horde's gone. But they don't go; they just stay there, and then they eventually just overrun. And it's a bit mad. But
try and sell you scones or other home-baked treats.
But a little further into the game, you can actually stab particular walkers in the gut when you've taken them down and pull out their insides and smear them over your body so you smell like the walkers so you can walk among them.
No, you smell like
smell like
which
death.
It's a trait from the... It's something from the show. That is something from the comic books.
That is disgusting.
It is, but if you're stuck against a horde and you need to escape and not get bit, then you've got to smear some zombie guts over your body, baby.
fun. That is minging.
It's fun. Again, it's a game that will last you a very long time. It is a pretty lengthy game for VR, especially. I have a lot of fun with it. I'm enjoying the story unfolding bit by bit.
I have a question.
Yes?
Can you make balloon animals out of zombie guts?
No, of course you can't. That's disgusting. Behave. Smear it over your body.
I have a slightly more sensible question. You said it's long. Like, do you have an idea of... like an impression of how long it is overall based on how far you are through the game, or not yet?
I am, because I keep going back and forth because I'm just having too much fun with it, so I'll keep revisiting areas to see how they've changed and stuff.
Just love smearing himself with those zombie guts.
I love smearing myself with zombie guts. It's meant to be, I've been told it's 15 hours. I am way past 20 hours in this game so far, and that, which also that goes to show you how good the tracking is in this game, because I haven't been travel sick playing this once, and I will play this for a good 6 hours at a time in cases.
And that's even after smearing yourself in guts.
Even smearing myself in guts. But yeah, biggest highlight of the game is just stabbing walkers in the head. It is fun.
Nice.
I do like as well, you'll find humans that were kind of you can go into the world and find a human and they're like, please help me, I need medication, I need some bandages or something, and if you've got the item you can give it to them.
And you just strangle dad them.
Now, they might give you something good in return. And there was a guy kind of calling me over, and I went, oh, I know how this works. You've got to give him some bandages. And as I walked over, he pulled a gun on me and he went, give me all the medical supplies you've got. So you give him them, and then he goes to run off, but he ran into me, and then he pulled the gun on me again. I went, well, I'm not having this. So I just stabbed him in the head. And then I got all my stuff back.
Oh, good.
That was fun.
Fair enough.
And the moral of the story
what goes around comes around.
He asked for it, in fairness. It's a very fun game. If you're not sure about spending 35 quid, because I've always suggested any game that comes out on PSVR, don't buy it straight away, because they go on sale so quickly. Like we were talking about the Blood and Truth, that what was that full price? That was like 35 as well, wasn't it?
I think so when it came out, yeah.
Yeah, about 35. And then something like 1 month after it released, it was on sale for 15 quid.
I think it was so six to eight weeks, I would say, at least. Bit longer than a month.
Yeah, so you're always best waiting for sales on PSVR. We pick them up because we want to talk about them on the show, really. But that's one definitely worth picking up for any price, I think.
I have a question, Mr. Coleman.
Yes?
Did any of the infected at any point in time in the game that you saw drive to Durham?
Only to get their eyes checked.
Good. Fine.
You know, that is the best way to check if your eyes work, is to get behind the wheel of a car.
Yes.
Strap your wife and kid
and drive.
In and go, right.
Yep.
Also, well done the son for using that picture of Stevie Wonder Photoshop behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah,
that's
good work.
Really and, old meme.
Yep. I don't think there's enough words to describe what an utter bell end he is, but never mind. Not
Moving
Stevie
on.
Wonder, the other bloke.
Didn't want to drag Stevie us back Wonder. Down into the real world again, but you know.
Anyway, I know it's a little late in scheduled programming to drop this bombshell on you, but one quick point of interest, Coleman. This week's free game on the Epic Store is Borderlands The Handsome Collection.
God
so
damn
go
it,
and get
I just
it.
Bought that!
The Coleman curse strikes again. If he's just bought a game, it's about to go on sale in 5 minutes. If he's looking forward to a game, it's about to be delayed in 10 minutes.
I bought it on PS4, and then like a week later, they put it on the PS Plus. I buy it on PC, and then they go, oh, by the way, it's coming out on Switch. And I was like, I would have wanted that Switch version. And now they've gone, it's on, you can have it for free on the Epic Game Store. Well done.
Yep. Well done, Coleman.
As a public service to everyone, you should announce whenever you're looking forward to something or whenever you've just bought a game, so everyone knows what's going to go on sale or be cancelled.
Right, so before we go on the Discord, we do get feedback and questions and stuff. And Skydark, he tends to give us a question of the week. He didn't give us a new one this week, probably because we didn't put a new show out, so we might as well use the one we used on the previous show. Question of the week, would you rather have loads of time to play games, but only be able to buy 2 games a year, or be able to buy loads of games, but never have much time to play them?
Well, option number two is what I just generally have in life.
Yes.
So I think option, just to mix it up, option one, assuming, of course, there are two truly great games to play in that year.
Destiny 1 and Destiny 2, Dan.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't option one just you playing Destiny anyway?
Well, yes, a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm sure option one leads to option
that
two.
Year, Dan.
Yeah, option one leads to option two, although I am trying to work my way through my Pile of Shame at the moment.
Yeah,
so.
Fair enough.
Tim?
Yeah, I'd have to go with what is my life. I mean, I kind of, I think we talked about this last week, where we have the thing where we tend to go from one game to the next even faster because we do get review copies that kind of interrupt what we're doing a little bit here and there. But yeah, like, I think that is a preference to just playing 2 games and sticking on them. I know a lot of people just play sort of, you know, they'll pick up FIFA and Call of Duty and that'll be the only games they play throughout the year. But yeah, I don't think I could.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not like that.
I don't think I could do that myself, basically. I like the variety and seeing what's out there and playing different things. So yeah.
Yeah, I like kind of being that. I like being in the conversation of the new game coming out. So I do like picking up all, you know, getting all the new games, whether they're sent to us or picking them up or whatever. So it is fun to be part of the conversation. Plus, you know, I work with people that are the, I buy Call of Duty and FIFA and that's it. And then they come to me about gaming knowledge and they're like, what about this Predator game? Tell me about the Predator game. You know, so it's nice to be part of that. However, That used to be me. I would pick up a wrestling game, a WWE game each year, and then whatever took my fancy on top of that. So it might be like the new Spider-Man game, the new Fable game, something like that. And those are the happiest days of my life.
Wrestling.
Could just invest all the time in the... Well, I must have spent like 38 hours creating Brock Lesnar's back tattoo out of the paint tool from SmackDown vs. Raw 2007.
Not going to lie.
Good use of time.
Not gonna lie, little creepy. Little creepy.
I did put the formula online at times so other people could do so. I did like when I could just invest that amount of time into a game and find all the nooks and crannies and all the unlockables and stuff. But we don't have to do that anymore because we just buy all the unlockables now. If you want to give us some feedback or some questions or anything, you can do so on facebook.com/BigRedBarrel. You can do so on Twitter @BigRedBarrel. Or you can find us on Discord, which is aptly called Big Red Barrel also. We prefer the Discord. Things are kicking off there. We tend to do some
a bit of the Discord.
Yes, we do some hanging out stuff there. We've got a little chat rooms which we use for the games and chatting and what have you, and we're quite active on there.
Larks are abound in there.
There are some hidden things from the show that will be going up in the Big Red Barrel UK lounge chat when I get my finger out my ass and sort them out properly. There's like a vault of outtakes that I might start leaking into that chat.
Right. Is it generally me just making an ass of myself?
Mostly. There's a really good one of you accidentally setting your PlayStation store to German. Then trying to read German. I like
excellent.
That one. So yeah, you can do so on there. Or also on the bigredbarrel.com comments section. Also, those are ways you can get in contact if you do so. Questions, feedback, random musings, game recommendations, whatever you fancy. We like it all.
Anything you like. So that's about it, really. It's been a bit of a long and surprisingly long and not unsurprisingly rambling show.
Yeah.
And we still didn't get through all the games we'd unplayed.
No. But Tim spent 4 hours talking about sharks.
Yep. 20 minutes of Maneater.
I do like me some Maneater.
And then 20 minutes of everything else.
Yeah. There'll be a Maneater special coming up soon where Tim just talks about Maneater on his own.
Yeah.
Unedited, because I'm not editing that.
No.
Well, I did think about streaming some. No. I might do that at some point.
I've got a lot of capture of Maneater that I need to do something with, including all the glitches. So there we go.
Okay. Hey.
I can show you the problem I was having.
Oh, no.
Yes, indeed. So, anyway, I think we should probably go because I also want some lunch. Dinner. What? Mm-hmm.
Din-dins. No,
din-dins.
Bit late for lunch.
Din-dins. Gibbo need din-dins. So, Gibbo going to finish show. Gibbo will
I'm
do that.
I'm not the man.
Yes.
That was a wrong button.
So, anyway, thank you ever so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. As Carmen says, go to bigredbarrel.com, facebook.com, twitter.com/bigredbarrel, things. And say hello on Discord. Do all those things and you will make us happy. But all that we need to really do now is just remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Dan.
I've been a Maneater. Arr,
arr. Arr.
Also, I've been called
I'm a shark.
Arr. Yeah, good. You have. Good. Yeah.
I'm a shark. So, nom, anyway. Nom, nom, and roar.
Rawr.
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 So anyway, we're going now. So thanks ever so much for listening.
Yeah, I'm going to go be a shark again.
Oh, are you? Well, that.
I'm going to go edit the podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to go and have my daily walk.
Ah, mandatory walk.
My mandatory walk.
Government mandated walk.
Indeed. So I'm going to go and do that and the walk and think of England or something. But anyway, thank you for tuning in. If indeed. That's an anachronistic way of doing things that you still do. You don't tune
We're
in,
not
Coleman.
On the radio.
You don't tune in. I download myself because I'm cool like the kids are these days. Right, anyway, middle-aged beckons. I'm going to go. So until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye. Oh, here she comes. Watch out, boy. She'll chew you.
Your ears are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
Maybe we should appeal more to the younger generation. We could talk about Fortnite and loot boxes.
No.
No.